It's Elul, in case you hadn't caught that in the air. And the process of approaching the Yimei Hadin, Yimei Aslichos V'Arachamim, is the process is really supposed to be going on all year round. It just gets intensified as it approaches Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In other words, just like you're supposed to keep your room tidy all year round, but in springtime, usually associated with Pesach, you do a serious spring cleaning. But if you neglect the regular straightening up, then the task becomes a daunting task when it comes time to try to really do a proper spring cleaning. It just becomes overwhelming. And that's why what we're really looking to do is not just to set into motion the preparation for Yomim Noraim. What we're really looking to set into motion is the process whereby we develop throughout the year. And that really is what the theme of Elul is. It's not just, can we somehow psych ourselves to get through Rosh Hashanah? It's, can we set in motion a process that is going to carry us through the entire year? And by process, it's very important to recall what we mean by process. Process means moving from the real towards the ideal. There's a real, means who I actually am. I had somebody in my office recently tell me, but the Torah tells us what I'm supposed to think is important. Who cares what I think is important? The Torah tells us what's important. And I said, well, but the only thing that really counts is what you think is important. He said, are you Orthodox? I said, well, I think so. I mean, not about tshuva yet, but I claim to be Orthodox. Only thing that counts is what you think is important. Because once you know what you think is important, and you have a sense of what you think is important, then you can start moving. The whole process doesn't begin unless you know who you are. What do I think is important? What turns me on? What gets me going? What moves me? What blocks me? Who am I? What are the obstacles? What is the situation? So a famous writer once said, it's very easy to quit smoking. I've done it dozens of times. That's a person who tried to jump to the ideal without getting a sense of the real. He didn't internalize what he was up against. Quitting smoking is a big deal, and it's not a simple thing. The person has to be aware, what makes me tick? That's the real. Then there's the ideal, which is the Torah gives us a model of what it is that a human being is supposed to look like. Both in terms of chovos haguf, what he's supposed to act, how he's supposed to act, the chovos haguf, or the chovos mitzvos hachitzonios, if you will, the mitzvos that can be observed by other people, and the chovos halavavos, the mitzvos that can't be observed by other people, the mitzvos that can only be observed by the Rabbono Shel Olam. That's the ideal. The ideal is the Torah has set forth what the chovos are, what our obligations are, what we're supposed to look like. What does a human being look like? And with those two, you then look at, well, how do you go there? What's the process? What's the process whereby I go from where I am to where I'm supposed to be? Because everyone wants to be perfect. Everyone wants to be perfect. We just don't want to change. A bit of a challenge. I want to be perfect, just the way I am. So is that okay? Can I kind of be perfect and keep on listening to everybody, to all the Chazal's descriptions of the ideal, and say, well, is it okay that I do it like this? Who's supposed to be giving you the stamp of okayness? Who's supposed to be coming down and stamping what you're doing as being okay? Who needs it to be okay? It's what I do. It's the real. There's an ideal. And I'm put in this world to gently but firmly bridge the gap from the real to the ideal. That's what we're here for. So, it's no point in asking, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay? What's the point in asking that? Who are you asking it of? And you breathe it in the air if you live in the Western world, is okayness. I'm okay, and you're okay, and he's okay, and she's okay. You got to write a book about okayness, otherwise you can't sell it.
What's wrong? Sorry, what's wrong? I don't understand what's wrong.
Okayness implies that somehow, somewhere, there's this stamp that says that I don't have to change. Because see, idea that I have to change kind of makes me anxious. I was kind of hoping to be perfect without changing. So, like, this is an uncomfortable feeling. Are you telling me that I'm not okay the way I am? And I'm saying, who talked about okayness? We're talking about a real, talking about an ideal, and talking about a process. You know where okayness came from? Sixth grade. That's where okayness came from. Standard 3. Whatever it is that you... Sixth grade, that's where you got okayness from. How did you know you were okay? What determined if you were okay?
Check.
You got a check on the paper or 100 on the test. Then you were okay. So we got this profound error that breathed into our system that said, if I do this, then I'm okay. And nobody clued us in at the time and said, by the way, that was just a way of measuring whether or not I, as a teacher, was able to communicate the message and whether you, as a student, were able to absorb the message of that particular unit. But there's nothing about that that says okayness, because I, as a teacher, am not here to grant okayness. As a teacher, I'm here to facilitate your growth. I'm part of the process of helping you go from the real to the ideal. Where along the way is there a place to say, I'm okay? And not only that, but we demand to be okay. Everybody's got a... What do you mean? I got a letter this week from a fellow who's very irritated about his community, because when he came out of the closet as a gay, he doesn't feel that he's getting back the right kind of messages from his Jewish community. I said, what message are they supposed to give you? Why should they be granting you okayness? Either you're okay or you're not okay, but why should they be... Who are they to grant you okayness? Okayness is the living myth that keeps all of us from growing. It says, let me somehow try to overlay the ideal and the real and kind of fetch it into alignment. Okay? Is that, like, okay? It was a little bit of a kvetch, but is that kvetch okay? Well, who's supposed to answer that? It's the real. That's who I am. That's real. Well, is that okay? Does it make you nervous if I say I'm not going to grant you okayness? Does it make you nervous? Does it set you on edge? Does it make you feel a little uncomfortable sitting here in the room to say, like, why isn't he going to tell me that I'm okay? And the answer is, because I'm here to share the process with you as a fellow traveler on the road from the real to the ideal. I'm not here to dispense okayness. Nobody's meant to dispense okayness. Your sixth grade teacher made a mistake by giving you the impression that she was dispensing okayness. We're going from a real, and that we need to understand deeply, going towards an ideal, and that we need to understand clearly. And then we're asking, okay, how do we do it? How do we nudge this thing called me in the direction towards the ideal? That is a tension process. That's a process that we're never supposed to say, well, since I'm not on that level, since I'm not on the level to do that, therefore, yeah, always listen for the therefore. Since I'm not on the level, therefore I'm okay. Right? Why should you have to be okay if you're not on the level and that's something that you're not working on right now? So it's something you're not working on right now. Why does that have to be okay? Well, because I'm uncomfortable if I'm not okay. So you need a big rabbi with a long beard and then a gray beard, and then he has to be a long rabbi with a gray beard and dead and grant me okayness. And that tension, we have to resist that tension, because life is about the process of going from the real to the ideal. There's no point at which we say, now I'm okay. I am. Shorten the sentence. You don't need I am okay. You say, I am. This is who I am. How do I know who I am? I should check my feelings, my actions, and my thoughts. In short, my fat. Feelings, actions, thoughts. I check my fat, and I will know who I am. Ask myself, what do I feel, what do I do, and what do I think? That's who I am. The sum total of what I think, and what I feel, and what I do. So I have a definition of myself. If you don't, if you start looking for okayness, you start ignoring certain parts of yourself, because that's not so okay. So I start ignoring parts of myself. Once I start ignoring parts of myself, the process stalls. Because now I'm a living fiction. Well, if you're ignoring parts of yourself, why not just decide that you're already the ideal? I mean, you know, why all that wasted time? If you're already going to ignore and fool yourself, just go for the gold. Just decide that you're ideal. Why, you know, all these people like they're ignoring parts of themselves and then struggling. I wonder about that. Why would you ignore parts of yourself and then struggle? Ignore part of yourself and then gloat and walk around to everybody and say, you really ought to be where I am. I am ideal. So, but what about, so, no, I don't do that. Well, I saw you, no, that was a mistake. It wasn't me. It was somebody else. That wasn't me. That was just because I was in a bad mood. Not me. Oh. So, I mean, everything that you do wrong is because you were in a bad mood. So that's not you. That's good. So any feelings, actions, and thoughts that are not ideal are a mistake because I was just in a bad mood. So then I'm there. There's only one little problem with being there. First of all, it's a real armfold kind of experience to wait for everybody else to catch up. It can be very, very long wait because everybody else is not getting it as right as I am. Because, see, when they do it wrong, they've got a flawed character. They've got something wrong with them. They've got something they need to work on when they get something wrong. And I just made a mistake, and I was being out of character. So it's a long wait because they're all continually doing things wrong. And they actually do things wrong that really require that they change, which I don't have to change. I just have to really kind of just ignore my mistakes. So that can be a very long wait. It can be very lonely there at the top also. So it also evokes a real question, why am I alive? If I'm already ideal, so then I guess the gig's up. If I'm already ideal and a person was put in the world to struggle to go from the real towards the ideal, if I'm already ideal, then what am I here working on? Kind of the gig's up. So don't jump to be ideal. It doesn't pay. It's not even good for longevity. The idea is to, as much as possible, to be clear on the real, to get as clear as possible a picture of the ideal, and to work on process. And that's what we're hoping to set in motion during Yom Elul. What we want to set in motion is a system for regular awareness of the real, for a deep understanding, keeping on learning more about what the Torah demands of us in terms of the ideal and processes whereby we can make some of the shift. Questions, comments, reactions? Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand the flaw in okayness from, you know, but don't we need, like, is from children, like from childhood, you need to get to a stage of confidence that's given over by parents and teachers, a validation that'll bring you to this state where you can, you know, this fat state where everything is just I am, right? So you have to be equipped to be real enough with yourself to say this is where I'm holding. You mean to be strong enough to recognize that there's a process without having yeyush on yourself. And how else is that going to come other than validation from peers, teachers, parents?
Yeyush comes because of sixth grade teacher who said that I'm okay. They actually did even better than that. You know what they really said? You're not just okay, you're a 10. You're not just okay, you're a 10. And what happens when the kid doesn't do well on a test? So the parenting books say, you should build him up. You should tell him, well, because you studied in between episodes of Batman, because you studied, in my mind, you're a 10. They've got different ways of saying that. So the kid says, oh, good. You saved me. Because for a minute there, I thought I had something to work on. And you saved me and told me that I'm really a 10. That message gets deeply ingrained in the child's psyche. And then what happens when he confronts Avodas Hashem and there's no such thing as a 10 in Avodas Hashem? And there's work to be done. What happens now? He's so ill-equipped to engage the process of growth that Yeyush is the only escape. I'm just a zero. I'm just a zero because I'm not a 10, so I'm a zero. And you got lots of people walking around with what they call out there low self-esteem. And you know what low self-esteem really is? Masquerading gaiva. I'm really a 10. And if I'm not a 10, I'm a zero. A worthless zero. So you better make sure that I feel like a 10. Because if you don't make sure that I feel like a 10, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go feel like a zero. And since there's no way in the world that we can ever feel like a 10 in the real world, because life is an open-ended striving towards perfection, so we never feel like a 10. So if we were indoctrinated that we always have to be a 10, what's left of us? Simple. Bunch of zeros. Makes good sense, right? And they call that low self-esteem. You know what that is? That super gaiva just came in through the back door. Low self-esteem. I'm a zero. Why am I a zero? What makes me a zero? Because look, I messed up. I did this wrong, I did this wrong. I'm a zero. So? Cool. If when that child had come home from school with a 78 on his report card or on the test, and the parent had regarded that with equanimity, with a sense of, oh, so now we know what you're working on. Validated the fact that this is hard for the child and helped them move on, accepting the fact that we're strong in things, strong in some things, have challenges in other things. Child wouldn't feel like he has to be a 10, and he wouldn't feel like a zero for the fact that he's got something that he's got to work on. It was because of that insidious message that says, no, sweetheart, you're a 10. Don't let anybody tell you you're not a 10. We got all sorts of euphemisms for what to do with a child who needs a little bit of extra help. We call them special needs. God forbid that anybody actually has to work on something, and some people are stronger in things and some people are weaker. You can't do that. Everybody's got to be a 10. There's a radio show in America called the Prairie Home Companion. And they sign off saying, And that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the children are above average. You know what the definition of a genius is? An average kid with a Jewish grandmother. He's got to be a 10. He's my kid. Got to be a 10. How could it not be a 10? See, why do you want to rob him of the opportunity to grow through the span of his life? Why do you want to steal that from him? Let him have that. Let him have life. Life involves grabbing the real and moving towards the ideal. Share with him the process of being a traveler. A traveler on the road from the real towards the ideal.
How does a child get this? Where's the...
Child gets this by being a participant in the growing process.
I'm saying, I'm having a hard time accepting this right now.
We're having a hard time accepting it because we went to sixth grade.
Yeah.
We went to sixth grade and we got the message that says, A, I'm okay, and B, I'm a 10. And if I'm not a 10, I'm a 0. So we got poisoned by an air that works very well in the Christian world. Everyone in the Christian world is either a 0 or a 10. All you have to do is believe and you're a 10. Don't believe, you're a 0. Hey, that works. I can be a 10. All I have to do is cross myself. That's cool. If being a 10, if all that involved in being a 10 is just deciding that now I'm a 10, I mean, first of all, it's matir every isser in the Torah. What's the problem? I'll take care of it tomorrow. I feel bad today? Don't worry about it. But tomorrow I'm already done. Go to confessional, say that I did something wrong, and now I'm a 10 again. Everything's good. And we say, you go to confessional, now you work on it. Oh, wait a second. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to be able to now make myself a 10. Don't you get it? Isn't that what the Christian world says? You gotta be a 10. You're not a 10, you're a 0. So we breathe that air that is not foreign air for us, that is familiar air, that runs very counter to the message that the Torah says that this is a blueprint for how to take a real live me and help this real live me move towards what an Adam is supposed to look like. So the child gets that by being part of that process, by seeing the way his parents interact with imperfection.
But if you're happy being a 7, you'll never get to be a 10. And everyone does want to be a 10. Well, I'm just meant to be happy that I'm a 7?
Who said anything about being happy about being a 7?
Well,
that smells like being okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That smells like okayness. It smells like okay.
I'm going to strive to be a 10. If not,
let's strive to be a 10. Who's going to define what a 10 is? I'm supposed to be working towards an ideal, which is the Torah's ideal. And I want you to know the Torah's ideal. As soon as you think you got the Torah's ideal worked out, learn the Chazals a little bit more carefully. It's always a push and always a struggle, always a working towards. It's always an ongoing process towards refinement of that human character. You're not done with the job called becoming the ideal. It's an ongoing process.
Why is that self-esteem super bad?
Oh, I think I just offer the possibility is why it is. I'm a 0 because I'm not a 10. I feel like a 0. I once had a surgeon in my office who stormed out, very talented young surgeon. He stormed out of an operating theater because he opened up a vein. He opened up an artery. They are trained like monkeys to be able to close arteries in surgery. They're trained. But he thought he was trained to close up somebody else's arteries. Meaning, arteries that God opened up, arteries that some other surgeon or medical professional opened up, but not anyone that his scalpel slipping might open up. And lo and behold, Vayihi Hayom, in the middle of the surgery, his hand slipped. Very delicate surgery. Hand slipped. I mean, he's human. That's why they taught him how to close up arteries. But he didn't get that. He assumed that he's supposed to close somebody else's arteries, somebody else's mistakes. So he stormed out of the room, saying, I should never be a surgeon. I'm worthless. I'm useless. That's it. It was a whole balagan as to how they got a surgeon to save the guy's life. I mean, the guy was bleeding to death. I mean, it was a whole balagan. So I went to my Rebbe and I said, Rebbe, what midah is this? The guy feels like a 0, like a nothing. worthless. I said, what midah am I looking at? And he said, gaiva. Pure and simple. And I had to pull over the car. I had to pull the car over. I just like, couldn't, like, you know. That is so the opposite of the way the Western world would look at that story. But if you think about it, listen to what he said. Very simple. He has a picture in his mind of himself as only one way. A 10. There's no such thing as he's in a process. He's growing. I thought they used to say he's practicing medicine. They used to say that. Not he is a doctor. He's practicing medicine. You're supposed to practice. You know, being a posek is also, and being a Talmud Chacham, you're supposed to be practicing. So he wasn't supposed to be practicing. He was supposed to be it. So now that he discovers that, you know, he's not perfect. And that's why he's trained to be able to close up arteries. He's not perfect. There's always a process towards. He couldn't deal with that. So he's a zero. Well, zero shouldn't be in the operating theater. Question.
So can I just understand this? If somebody originally is taking where they are now and sort of claiming that that's perfect and that that's okay, kvetching in the sort of where you are 7 to a 10 and actually making a 7 to 10 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in not realizing he actually is in a real situation and he has a lot of growth, you know, he has growth to do and he has good points. So that is what results in somebody having low self-esteem, because when they realize actually they're not perfect, they think they're nothing, but that was only based on the fact that where they thought they were originally was perfect.
Exactly. They built a fiction that then cost them. That's right. Very good way to summarize it. They built a fiction that they then had to pay a dear price for the fiction that they built. And if they, I don't even think they built it. It was built for them by their sixth grade teacher. It wasn't just so that they went and built a fiction. The fiction was handed to them. You're really a 10. And if you want to know what the killer, we can get into the idea of motivation. Someday ask me about motivation. Yes, go ahead.
If you genuinely think you're a zero.
Yes.
But you want to work on it, and you got.
Oh, maybe I know that I'm a zero.
Yeah, and that's completely fine. That's nothing like that.
If that's an honest appraisal, you know, of my tennis skills, you know, okay. If that's an honest appraisal of my tennis skills. But I really would like to play tennis. I am a zero. So I don't need to hire, you know, Boris Becker to be my tennis coach. You know, I need to hire the local schlepper who knows how to hit a couple times. And show me and I'll start.
Is it a good thing to do for yourself, perhaps?
Is it a good thing to do what?
If you want to work on yourself,
yes.
To inspire yourself, is it sometimes good or is it bad to say, well, listen, I'm definitely a zero, and will that push you more?
I think you have to be honest. Knowing the real and knowing what you're working on, you have to be honest. You have to know who you actually are. Everybody has to know who they actually are, their strengths, their weaknesses, because if I hire the local schlepper, and I really should be a world-class tennis player, and I hire the local schlepper to be my coach because I think I'm a zero, it's not going to be good. I have to know. I am ready for a mid-range coach because I'm not a zero. The great Gedolim didn't have any delusions about who they were. Their humility came from the fact that they knew exactly who they were. And they knew that it was a gift from the Ribono Shel, and therefore they were not gloating over anybody because of it. They still saw themselves on the road, working from where they are to where they're supposed to be. And if another person, they encountered another person, they found yet another traveler who was also working on the road. And if I can, I'd like to help. I'd like to help others work on the road to go from where they are to where they're ideally meant to be.
Well, that's why I was wondering, is it a waste of time reading biographies of Gedolim when many of them were written in a very, these people were perfect way, rather than showing them as growing?
Well, I don't know if it's a waste of time. I think it's wonderful to read about the ideal. The problem comes when I play a game of make-believe. Guess what? I read the book. Therefore, I am. I read. Therefore, I am. You know, that's a problem. Now, there's the assumption that somehow, since I read the book of a gadol, so now I'm learning 18 hours a day, you know, that can be a little bit of a challenge.
But is it, can it also be harmful to read about someone else's ideal world rather than...
It sounds to me like you're asking if it's okay to read a Gdolin book.
No, I'm asking...
Why don't you tell me if it helps you go from your real towards your ideal? Instead of asking me if it's okay, you tell me if you find that it helps you move towards the ideal, or if you don't find that it moves you towards the ideal. And I'll tell you a good rule. If it doesn't help you move towards the ideal, don't do it. And if it does help you move towards the ideal, do it.
How do you know it's the ideal or not?
If I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, and I feel that a particular activity helps move me in that direction, that would... I mean, if I get in the car and I'm heading towards Beit Shemesh, I usually have a sense of whether I'm moving towards Beit Shemesh.
Yeah, but it's usually a lot more difficult to tell whether if you're traveling in a direction in Midas, whether the good, say, for example, that just takes the Gedolim book, whether it's just it's giving you a false sense of inspiration, and really it's valuing your time and you direct and channel energies elsewhere.
I check my feelings, actions, and thoughts. Are they more or are they more or less in line with where I'm trying to go? Reading about a Godel could very well, to a certain degree, and I think each person has to assess, could very well help make align a person in a direction, in a vector where he's meant to go. Person who's lost his bearings and he reads a book about a Godel, it can often reorient him in terms of facing him in the right direction. Go ahead.
Just another question, Rob. In terms of taking where you are now and trying to somehow fantasize that it is actually sort of the ideal kind of thing, doesn't that stem from the fact that doesn't that always naturally come from trying to quantify Shlemus in the first place? Like, if you're trying to have grades in something, then sort of once you reach the top grade, then automatically you're sort of making something finite. So then you've reached the top, and that automatically will come into.
I don't mean to imply that we shouldn't have short-term goals. I think short-term goals are a very useful tool as part of the process. I think everybody, I don't know, maybe some of you don't find that short-term goals are useful, in which case, trash them. Don't let me tell you what works. I happen to have found that short-term goals are quite useful as part of the process. But that the question of okayness doesn't enter into the story. The issue on the floor is not okayness. The issue is, I happen to be working on this, and I've set as my short-term goal the following, and that's a stepping stone in the process, and it works for me, rather than leave it very open-ended and indefinite goal. I find that it's useful for me to break it down into a smaller or short-term goal. Well, that's great. Again, the okayness. Isn't it normal? Isn't it normal for people to get angry at when somebody does that? Isn't it normal? Why don't you shorten the sentence? It is. That's what you do. You get angry when that happens. Why should anybody have to grant you a normal sticker?
Shouldn't it be the opposite? You should say, that is what you do, and that's not the... And the rest of the sentence is, and that's not the Torah ideal.
Oh, wait a second. We're still caught in a tension. When the person comes to me and says, well, isn't it normal? Wouldn't anybody get upset if somebody did a thing like that to them? So we're caught in a tension because they're asking me for a normal sticker. So I have to first resist the pull of the normal sticker.
But I can give them a Torah sticker.
No, I'm not prepared to give them anything yet until they're willing to let go of the need for the normal sticker. Then they can ask themselves, and I would ask them, tell me, where would you like to go with this? Where would you like to go? And they say, well, isn't it normal? So I see you don't want to go anywhere. You want to somehow determine that the way you are now is okay. Well, guess what? We're going to be at loggerheads because the Torah views it as part of a process. So you're telling me it's not okay? Where will that leave you if I tell you that it's not okay?
Zero.
Zero. Go ahead.
How do you judge? Surely every time.
I'm anxious a little bit about the time. Let me just. It's
they attended tonight.
Yeah.
And it leaves at 6:30.
Yeah. Okay. But so the Bochum can stay and continue.
They can carry on for a couple of minutes.
From the Bochum,
just go ahead. Give me the question.
When you judge yourself and you find out where you're holding, isn't that very subjective? And as opposed to objectivity.
The part of the Elul process is trying to get honest with yourself. The reason you need to let go of the fiction is in order to allow yourself to get honest. As long as you need to somehow find yourself in the end as a 10, as perfect, then your tendency towards fiction is very high. But if being who you are is the starting position for all subsequent growth, and that growth is what you're here for, then you're less prone to error or to fiction. And that's why the Cheshbon HaNefesh, the review of self, of Elul, is meant to be prefaced by what we spoke about tonight. This is not about, am I or am I not a 10? This is not about, am I or am I not okay? This is who I am. What would I like to move forward? And I'll just mention in one word, when you do house cleaning, since that was the mashal that I started with, when you do house cleaning, and you notice that a particular shelf is very cluttered, Now, by the way, entropy says, the rules are, the things go from order to disorder. So you're going to have to do cleaning again next year, because things are going to go from order to disorder. That's in the nature of the world. But you know what? You notice that this particular clutter, you're going to end up with this clutter again. You know why you're going to end up with this clutter again? Because you need three more shelves. So what you do is you put up three more shelves. Not with a fantasy that somehow you're going to come next year and have nothing to clean. I'll have what to clean next year. But three more shelves will make this particular issue, it won't be as much of an issue, because the reason why there's so much clutter here is because there's just not enough room for all the kids' toys. Three more shelves is the right way to go. So in the Elul preparation process, we make certain moves that will allow us to come back next year not to the same old story. And most people end up coming back to the same old, year in, year out. Because they didn't stop and say, wait a second, at structural level, maybe if I put up three more shelves, the equivalent of putting up three more shelves is spending some time being honest with myself. Maybe if I spend some time being honest with myself, then I would not be always coming back to the same challenge every year. I'd be moving along, on the road, on the process, from the real towards the ideal. Ksiva chasima tova.
Amen.